Amen. You guys can have a seat. Well, good morning. How's it going? Thanks, Robbie. Pretty good. Well, happy Mother's Day. Yeah, all you mothers, we appreciate you. We're going to need a little more energy today, moms. I'm putting it on you, right? No, but happy Mother's Day. We're so glad that you're here. If you don't know me, my name is JT Patton. I'm the pastor here at the church. I've met most of you, but there's a few people in here I haven't met today. So I just wanted you to know that I would love to meet you. So after the service, please come find me. As I say every week, I just like to find out how people ended up here, like on the northwest side of Springfield in the middle of nowhere, how you ended up here. And I just love to kind of hear your story. So please come find me after the service. Today, we're going to be going through a lot of scripture. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 1 John. 1 John is at the end of your Bible, almost at the very end. And so turn to 1 John chapter 5. Yeah, I know. So turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible or don't own a Bible, we would love to give you one. Or if you just need to borrow one today, that's good too. So if you want to borrow one today, just raise your hand if you don't have one, don't own one, and somebody would bring that to you. And if you don't own one, that's our gift. Or I mean, on the phone is fine too. And so before we get rolling today, man, today is Mother's Day, so we'd be remiss if we didn't point out that we have a lot of mothers in here and how much we appreciate them. Before we do that, though, I just wanted to say quickly that I know for a lot of people, Mother's Day is not necessarily that great of a day. It's a difficult day, right? I lost my mother way too early, about 3 or 4 years ago, and so there's a lot of pain wrapped up in today with me. But also, I get to celebrate who my mom was. I have a wonderful wife who's an amazing mother, and so I get to celebrate too. But for whatever reason, whether you want to be a mom, or that you used to be a mom and you lost your children, or that you had a mom that hurt you in some ways, today can be a difficult day. And so before we pray for our mothers, I just wanted to say that we love you and that we understand that. And that we're praying for you too. And so today, if this day is difficult for you, know that you're not alone. That's okay. That's an okay thing to say in life group tonight, if you have life group, or on Wednesday, to share with everybody else that this is a difficult day, so we can pray for you and know that we love you and you're supported. But even for those of us that this day can be hard, I think most of us would agree, man, today we need to celebrate moms. Because moms, I mean, let's be honest, they're the backbone of our families, right? They're the hearts of our family. I always say that my wife is the heart of our family. Without her, things would collapse. She does so much. And moms might be the most underappreciated, undervalued people in the world. Would people agree with that one for the most part? Just do this. Just say yes. It's going to be one of those days, yeah? Moms hardly ever get thank yous, and they don't get enough appreciation for all that they do. So I want to do this really quickly. If you are a mom or have ever been a mom, would you stand up for me? If you're new, we don't do this very often, right? I don't have you stand and make you feel uncomfortable. Please, if you're a mom, stand up, because we have a surprise for you. The kids wanted to do something nice for the moms. And so they're all running around handing out chocolate to all the moms in the room just to say thank you. But like I said, moms are one of the most underappreciated people in the world. So can we just give a round of applause for all the moms? Now don't sit down until you have your chocolate. Don't sit down until you have your chocolate. So let me pray. Let me pray for all of them while the kids are running around handing out the rest of the chocolate. God, we love you. We thank you so much for today. We thank you so much for the message you have for us today. But God, just before we get rolling, I just wanted to thank you for all the mothers in the room. God, they give so much of themselves, so much of their time to make sure that our families are healthy and that we're taken care of, and just pouring out their lives with a lot of times not expecting much in return. So God, we just want to thank you for them. Without a doubt, God, you gave us mothers to be a gift to us. And although for some people it didn't work out that way for them, but for most of us, man, our mothers were just backbones for us. So God, we just praise you and thank you for the strong, godly women in this room that have not only chased you for years, but have, man, chased around their children for years. So God, we thank you and we praise you for them. I pray that today would be a day of blessing, and this week would be a day of blessing for all the moms in this room, and that they would know today how appreciated they really are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You guys all sit down. Okay, good. Moms, you can sit down. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and just take a shot in the dark to start off today and say that you're not very good at prayer, or you feel like you're not very good at prayer, right? So that might look at, like, you don't pray nearly enough, you don't pray as often as you'd like to, you don't really know how, maybe it is that you don't really know how to pray, When you pray to God, it just kind of feels hollow and you kind of feel awkward. It might mean that you don't like ever feel like you hear from God or that God's hearing you when you pray. No matter what that might look like for you, the overwhelming majority of the time when I talk to people about prayer, they say, man, if you say it the Christian way, I just wish my prayer life was better, right? Or people just say, I wish I was better at prayer. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but if I asked you guys, don't do it, but if I asked you guys to raise your hand right now and say, do you wish you were better at prayer? 95, I would say 100%. People are raising their hands anyway right now because they know my hand would be up, right? I wish my prayer life was better. And that's probably why this series came about, because I'm just like, I wish I was better at prayer. Man, I love my time in prayer, and I pray all the time. I pray for you guys all the time. I pray for our church all the time. But I still wish that my prayer life with the Lord was better. And so that's why we named this new series, well, prayer, right? Super original, I know, but we just want to get straight to the point of what this is. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about things like, what is the point of prayer anyway? Right? If God's in control of everything, and his will is going to be accomplished anyway, what's the point of prayer? We're going to talk about, man, how should we pray? Like, what does it look like to pray in the quote-unquote right way? We're going to talk about, does prayer really change anything? And we're going to answer the question, does God really answer prayer? Like, really? Does God just kind of do what he wants to anyway, and we pray, but God's just going to do what he wants? Or does God, like, actually answer our prayers the way that we pray them? Does he actually answer prayer? And so what we want to do this week is we're going to talk about that first one I talked about. If God is in control of everything and God's will is going to be accomplished, right? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that point this week. We are later. But we believe in this church that God is in control. And we're going to talk about why it's important to believe that God's in control of things, right? If God's in control and his will be accomplished, and we believe that here, then why pray in the first place? Right? If he's in control, why pray? Have you ever thought about that? I've had people come to me and their faith was kind of rocked by this question. Like, why am I supposed to pray? And so that kind of started unraveling a bunch of other things for them because they're like, I don't even see the point. So that's what we want to talk about today, because a lot of people want to say that the point of prayer is to make requests to God, right? To ask for things or make requests or pray for other people. And so we're just going to start off there. Is prayer really about making requests, asking God for things? Good things. I mean, God calls us to ask for things. Let's start off with the first one. God does ask us to pray and to ask for things. If you haven't opened your Bibles yet, open up to 1 John 5. And there's lots of passages like this in Scripture, but I just picked this one in particular. 1 John 5, we're going to look at verse 14 through 15 and see what John says about prayer. Okay, 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So right there, it does talk about requests. So request is a part of prayer, right? But let me ask you something. For those who pray regularly or those who pray, is your experience in your life, in the real world, that every time you pray, God answers your prayer directly? Does anybody have that experience? Every time I pray, God answers that prayer directly, and I can see exactly that God answered that prayer. Yeah. So for most of us, that's not the reality that we live in, right? Because God could say yes, God could say no, but we pray. It says right here, ask whatever you wish, and God's going to answer that prayer. But that's just not the reality most of us live in. So there's a couple of really important words that'll help us to start understand what this really looks like. So look at the passage again. 1 John 5, 14. And this is the confidence that we have towards him. Now, good, like that word's important, confidence. Man, that's having faith that God is who he says he is, right? That's having faith that God is going to answer the promises that he's going to fulfill the promises that he's given us. God, and God says he's going to answer prayer. So we need to go with him in confidence. But here's a really important word in this passage. Read it again. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. What was the important word there? If, right? We can have confidence in our prayers if we ask according to his will. Now that becomes a really important if. So let me ask you guys another question. Do you feel like you always know God's will? Does anybody feel like they have a lockdown on what God's will is? Because I'll tell you right now, I don't think I've ever been more confident of God's will in my life, ever, than the mission that God's called us in this church and to Tom Watkins. Like, I have no doubt in my mind this is exactly what God's called us to do, and it's exactly what we're supposed to do. Pour out our lives for the sake of the poor and the needy and the hurting in this city. But do I know for 100%, without any shadow of a doubt, exactly what God's will is? Even in my most confident times, I don't know what God's will is. So my question is, what good is this really to us? It says if we pray in God's will, when we can never, almost never in our lives say 100% without a doubt that we know God's will. It's kind of puts us in a difficult position, doesn't it? Like, what good is that to us? Well, let me say this. I believe fully that most of the times in our lives, not all, but most of the time in our lives, we know exactly what God's will is. Most of the time, we know exactly what God's will is. Let me ask you a question. Does God desire the lost to be saved? So if we have friends, if we have family members, if we have coworkers, if we meet people, should we pray that lost that they should come to know Christ? Should we pray for that? Right? Does God have a heart for the poor and the oppressed and the needy? Does he? 2,103 times we talked about, right? At least that God talks about the poor, the oppressed, and the needy. So should we pray for the poor? Not only pour out our lives for the poor or the oppressed or the needy, but should we pour out our lives and pray for those people in prayer? Should we go to God on their behalf? Should we? Right? Should we forgive people and have mercy for people and have grace for people? And should we let go of anxiety? And should we strive to be the kind of husband and the kind of father and the kind of mother and the kind of wife that God's called us to be? Should we do all those things? And should we pray for those things to be realities in our lives? Why, how do you know that we should do those things? Because the Bible teaches us exactly the kind of people that we should be and the commands that God and the promises that God has made to us. We don't have to wonder what God's will is. The vast majority of the time, God's words are right here. God gave us his actual words. This is not a good book just to follow. It's not just a good guideline. It's not just a good way to live. These are the words of God. It says clearly in Scripture that the Holy Spirit wrote these words through men. We have the very words of God. So I'm going to say a very pastor thing, right? But read your Bible. Be in the Word of God, because how can you honestly expect to know the will of God and to follow his commands, and maybe most importantly for us, to understand his promises, because we, man, as Christians as a people, we just don't believe the promises of God. How are we supposed to know what they are if we don't know what this book says? I don't mean memorize the whole thing, but my prayer life is so much stronger when I'm in the Word of God consistently, because I'm praying things that are in this book. I'm asking for God to fulfill promises that I know that he's promised me in these books. I'm asking God to rip sin out of my life so I can follow his commands, the commands that he gives me in this book. And if we don't know what they are, it's very, very difficult for us to follow his will. Now, I know some of you don't like to read, or some of you just think the Bible's confusing. We've tried to make it very easy at this church for you to get away from that. One, in life group, man, you have people get involved in a life group. You can ask whatever question. People pour out their lives. Man, it's a place of authenticity. You wouldn't believe the things that people share in life group, because it's a safe place to be wherever you are. And you come into that life group and say, I don't know anything about the Bible. Well, that's a great place to start, isn't it? What an amazing place to start. I don't know anything about the Bible, and I don't know how to read the Bible. We have a guy in life group who has become one of my favorite people in the world that came from the beginning of men's, we have a men's discipleship group, and came from the beginning like, I've never really been in the Word that much. I don't really know how to read it, but I want that to change. Man, what an awesome thing. And you know what? It's absolutely changed dramatically in his life. Does he have a long way to go? We all have a long way to go. Right, but his life is, not as only his life is dramatically changing, his knowledge of the Word is dramatically changing, which is leading to a dramatic change in his life. Does that make sense? So we've got to be in God's Word, because most of the time we already know what God's will is. And not knowing what the Bible says is not an excuse, right? If you want to know the will of God and walk in that, be in the Word. Okay, but here's the, let me be realistic. Even though I think a lot of time we can know what God's will is and walk in it, a lot of times we just don't know. Right, so it was very clear when I wanted to get married that what kind of woman God had called me to marry, right? You can look in Scripture and look at exactly what kind of, we talked about it last week, right? What a woman should be and what a godly wife should be. So God tells us clearly the kind of wife that we should look for, and we should follow those guidelines. We know God's will on that. But is God going to tell you whether, for men, whether you should marry Helen or Ellen? Yeah, sorry, Helen or, anyway, is he going to tell you exactly what woman you should marry? No, of course not. Right? And so there's this bridge in between. Most of the time we know, but sometimes, man, God doesn't answer all of those questions exactly clearly. And so it's not exactly clear what God's will is for specific situations. So what do we do about that? Well, Jesus is going to say that we should pray in faith. Turn to Matthew 21. We're in 1 John at the end of the New Testament. Turn back to the beginning of the New Testament. Turn left in your Bibles to Matthew 21. It's the first book in the New Testament. And Jesus is going to talk a little bit about prayer here. Now, this is Jesus talking after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, right? He's been out preaching and doing his thing, serving the poor, preaching, feeding people, and then he's coming back into the city, and not very long from now, he's going to be crucified, right? So this is the triumphal entry where everybody's cheering him the week before he's crucified, and then everybody at the end of this week is screaming, crucify him, crucify him. So Jesus, in verse 21, Matthew 21, 21, is talking to his disciples about prayer. And this is what he says to them in Matthew 21, 21. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. There's that big if word right there again, right? If you have faith. So guys, we know that if we pray in God's will, that he's going to answer our prayers, right? But how often are we really confident that we know God's will? Well, maybe not all that confident sometime in some decisions. Okay, so then if we just pray in faith, God's going to answer our prayers. Okay, so that one's easy, right? No, but let's look at what it says right here. If you have the faith that says this mountain to move, it'll move. Right now, Jesus is kind of talking figuratively, but he's really telling literally, like, you have the power through prayer, if you just have enough faith, to accomplish anything that you pray. Does anybody feel like they have that kind of faith? They have the kind of faith that no matter what they pray, that God is going to answer that prayer directly. He's going to do what they ask with no doubt. Does anybody have that kind of faith? Yeah, me either. I want to have that kind of faith that I could pray anything and God's going to answer. But Jesus is clearly saying right here, man, if you pray like this, if you pray with complete faith, that God's going to answer. But the truth of it is we know that a lot of times we don't know God's will, and a lot of times we are just faithless, right? Sometimes we just don't have enough faith, but sometimes we're just faithless. Like, we just don't believe at all, man. We just have so many doubts in our heart. So let me ask you, if this is the point of prayer, if prayer is getting our requests and God says, well, it's just if you know my will, or if you have like utter and complete faith that doesn't have any doubt at all, could this really be the fulfillment of what prayer is meant to be? Because the fact of the matter is we're sinful, right? We're broken. That's why we're here today. We need a Savior, right? We're faithless so many times. Every single one of us can be faithless. Every single one of us has doubts. Every single one of us do not walk in the will of God, even the will of God that we know. And so God knows this. So can the point of prayer, if he's saying, all you have to do is know my will, and all you have to do is have complete and utter faith, could having requests answered really be the point of prayer if the way it's set up, we can't live up to that anyway? Do you see what I'm trying to say here? Because even in Matthew 6, Jesus says this, that God knows what we need before we ask. You know how we talked about how God's in control of everything? Jesus says, before you ask, God already knows your needs. So could our needs, could the requests really be the point when the whole way we get those prayers answered, we're terrible at those things. We need a Savior for those things because we're faithless, because we're broken, because we just don't follow the will of God sometimes. So if getting our requests answered is not the point, it is a benefit, right? It's something that we need to do. God tells us over and over and over in Scripture, ask, ask, ask. But that's not the point. So what is the point? Go left in your Bibles from Matthew to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about this again. And very much in Jesus' fashion, he's going to sum up what I said in the last 20 minutes in two verses. Just Jesus gets right to the heart of it, right to the point. I should have probably just started with this. But anyway, John 14, verse 13. We're going to see what Jesus has to say about what the real point of prayer is. John 14, 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, does that sound familiar to what we've already read the last couple times? Ask anything and I will do it. But right there, Jesus gives us the point of prayer. Right there, he tells us exactly what prayer is for. Verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. Guys, there's a reason that this church is trying to come back to the same point over and over and over. There's a reason that we talk about why we exist as a church and why we exist as a people over and over and over. It's because the Bible is screaming at us over and over that we exist to bring God glory. That's why we exist. That's where our fulfillment is found. And even in prayer, man, when we pray to God like he's called us to pray, the point of prayer is not to get requests answered. The point of prayer is to bring God glory in Christ. And that in Christ is a very important part. Because Jesus says, man, pray anything in my name. In my name, I'm going to answer it. And I'll be honest, guys, that does not mean that we finish every prayer with, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm not knocking that. Is it okay that we finish our prayers with, in Jesus' name, amen? Yes, because we want everything to be centered on Christ. But when Christ is saying right here, when you pray for anything in my name, I will answer it, he's not talking about tacking that on to the end of a sentence. He's talking about so much more. And church, this is where it gets so good. Right, this is where we're going to take what we've been learning in the last 7 or 8 months, basically, and tie it all right back together with what Jesus is saying right here. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 is going to bring this together for us. And you might be thinking, why are we going back to Hebrews? We were there for 7 months. If you haven't been with us, we walked through the whole book of Hebrews for 7 months. But man, this is so good. It brings us together for us so good of what it means to pray in Christ. Hebrews is right kind of towards the end of your New Testament. So Hebrews 10, verse 19 is where we want to look at this. Hebrews 10, 19. Read with me. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So what does it mean to pray in Christ? It means that before you were saved, you were on the outside. Right? We talked about this over and over in Hebrews, right? God's presence was not with the people in the Old Testament. It was in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, separated by a curtain. And if you cross that curtain, God literally killed you, right? And so what this is saying here is before you know Jesus Christ, you are on the outside. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, God does not make any promises to answer your prayers. God doesn't make any promises to listen to your prayers. But oh, when we're in Jesus' church, that changes everything, doesn't it? Because Jesus is our high priest. Man, we talked about that. Jesus is our high priest representing us to God, our representation before God. Jesus is our perfect sacrifice, right? Because of his perfect life, he was able to die the perfect death, and his blood washes us clean, and that's so vital for this, or praying in Christ, because Jesus died the death we should have died, and when he washed us clean, he gave us access to God, because we gave Jesus our sin on the cross, and he gave us his righteousness. And so God's presence cannot stand sin, because sin is evil. And God's perfect, and he's holy, and God cannot allow evil in his presence. But when Jesus gave us his blood on the cross, he washed us clean, he washed us new. So now we can come into the presence of God, and Jesus, as you know, is our mediator. So Jesus goes to God the Father on our behalf and says, yeah, Father, that one. You've heard me say this before. Yes, that one, Father. Yeah, that one who's just ran away from you his whole life. Yeah, that one who is broken, that one who has just a messed up past. That one just gave their life to me. So, Father, that's your child now. Yes, they can come into our presence. Yeah, Father, we're going to listen to them. Because you're their father and that's your child. Because I've washed them clean. I've washed them new. Church, praying in Christ means you've been invited into the presence of Almighty God. You've been invited into the presence of God. I mean, think about that for a second. We do not treat God like that. And I know we've talked about this before. We're going to talk about it again. Man, God calls you child, and we can call God Father. And we don't have to go before God with shame or guilt or worried about our past. Man, we can come to the Father knowing that we are washed clean by Christ and have an intimate and a real relationship with God. And what Jesus is saying is when we draw to God in that way, when we draw to God knowing we can come before him and we enjoy God's presence, that it brings God glory. It brings God glory for you to know him in that way. It brings God glory to answer prayers too. But when what brings God glory is when you come into his presence and you more and more understand who he is and what Jesus has done for you. And the access that you have to God in his presence, and that the God of the universe would want you in his presence, it changes your heart. It changes your desires. And it brings glory to God. Guys, this is how our faith is increased. This is how we understand the will of God. By, through God's word and knowing his promises, coming before our Father, enjoying and learning more in his presence and him changing who we are to make us more like Jesus Christ. That's the point of prayer. Because in that, God is glorified. Guys, it's an unbelievable privilege to go into the presence of God the Father. And so this is why we always talk about we exist to glorify God, and this is why we always talk about how we exist to advance the gospel. Advance the gospel in our own hearts and outside of these walls, because the more we know this, the more we're going to come to God's presence with confidence. It's in Jesus that we have confidence, that we can come before him, even in our brokenness, even with your past, even with the things that you've done, even with the sin that you just committed. We can come to God in confidence because he wants us in his presence. He longs for us to be in his presence so he can make us new, so we'll understand what faith really is, so we'll understand what his will is. But here's the truth of it. You're sinful. And I'm sinful. Even though I love Jesus with everything in me, I still sin. I still do things that God's called me not to do. And so if it's faith and drawing into God's presence and having our faith grow and understand his will more and more, well, sin just pulls that away. And so what ends up happening is I'll come before God, but I'll end up praying for the wrong things. Right? Because my heart is not aligned with God. Man, have you ever felt like that? You're just coming to God and you just feel so broken, maybe even dirty, maybe not even worthy, that you're trying to pray for the right things, but you don't even know if you're praying for the right things. And probably a lot of times, because our hearts are deceitful above all else, we are praying for the wrong things. Well, as Romans 10 just told us, man, even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. Turn to Romans 8. Last passage we look at, Romans 8. I believe we were just in John, so just go right in your Bibles a few books. This is one of the most, for me, this is, when it comes to prayer, one of the most powerful passages in Scripture, for me personally. I just love how faithful God is to his people, even when we are faithless. So I don't know if you remember, in the book of Acts, Jesus descends into heaven, right? Jesus died on the cross, he was resurrected, he spent time with his disciples, and then he descended into heaven. But before that, Jesus said, he told his disciples, I'm going to leave, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to descend into heaven, but when I do, I'm going to send you someone. I'm going to send you the helper. And Jesus literally says, it's going to be to your advantage that I send this helper when I go. Who is the helper? The Holy Spirit, right? Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit changed everything. So read with me in Romans 8, verses 26 through 28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for us as we ought. Now stop right there. Is that not true? It's not a surprise to God that you don't know how to pray. It's not a surprise to God that you don't pray for the right things. It just said right here. He knows that you're not going to pray for the right things sometimes, right? So that doesn't mean we don't go to God because we don't feel like we're praying for the right things. You go to God because look what God's going to do. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Church, here's this the truth. We can embrace this as a church. We are weak. Right? We're weak. We can pretend acting like we're strong. We can pretend like we got it all together, like everything's okay all the time. Man, so often we're weak. And God knows that we have weaknesses, and he doesn't abandon his children. Don't ever feel abandoned by God if you're in Jesus Christ. God knows we don't know what to pray for. He knows that we're weak. That's why God sent his Spirit to live inside of us. I mean, just think about that. We talked about this through Hebrews. In the Old Testament, man, they were separated from God, but through Jesus Christ, God literally lives inside of you through the Holy Spirit. You know why there's no more temple? We don't need a temple. You're the temple. Your heart is the temple. God himself lives inside of you. And right here it says, God's saying, I know you're not going to know my will. So the Spirit is going to intercede for you on your behalf because my Holy Spirit does know my will. The Holy Spirit does know the will of God the Father. So even when we pray for the wrong things, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf and takes up prayers on our behalf to God the Father and prays the right thing. It's why when I'm praying all the time for something that I feel like should happen, I pray all the time, God, will you answer this prayer? I go to God boldly. God tells us over and over to ask for what we wish. Ask for what we feel like we need. Ask boldly. But so many times I add on the end, but God, if this is not your will, please change my heart. Change my heart so I'll pray for the right thing. That's the Holy Spirit interceding for us on our behalf because we don't know how to pray for the right thing. So guys, even when you're unfaithful, the Spirit of God is interceding on your behalf. God knew it. He knew your weaknesses and he loved you enough to send him to come live inside of you so that you could pray for the right thing so you can encounter God in the right way. It's just, Scripture tells us over and over, when you're not faithful, God is faithful. When you run away, God goes nowhere. When you don't know how to pray, man, God's just going to pray the right thing for you. And guys, that's the God that we serve. You're not abandoned. You're not on your own. So we have to learn to pray. We have to learn to come before God. We have to learn to, like, listen, just stop. Something we've talked about in men's group a lot. Just stop. Stop doing. Stop chasing. Even in prayer, stop trying to accomplish things in prayer and just rest in who you are in Jesus Christ. Just stop and ask God to make himself real to you. Just stop and thank God for who he is. Just stop and ask God for his kingdom to come into your heart and for you to get this and for the gospel to change you from the inside. Make your requests. Ask God for what you need. Pray for other people. But the point is you get to come into the presence of God and enjoy him there. You know what? There's one more passage. We don't have to turn there, but I just want to bring it up because I just love that this is who our God is. Right? God says, you come into my presence, I'm going to increase your faith. And you're going to know my will. And you're going to walk in my ways, which is good for you. Right? And it's going to bring me glory. And I've commanded you to, right? Those things should be enough, right? Just the fact that God commanded us to, because he's God and we're not, that he commands us to. But he's telling us all these other things. But then Jesus says this in John 16:24. If that wasn't enough, Jesus says, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Church, we say this all the time. It needs to sink into your heart. The reason we exist is to glorify God. That's the point. That's why we chase Jesus with everything in us, because chasing Jesus brings glory, the most glory to God, the ultimate glory to God. But in that, over and over, God promises us, but if you chase me like this, I'm going to give you joy. And I just can attest to you, my prayer life has gotten so much better over the last 5-10 years, infinitely better, and there's so much joy in the presence of God when I'm not going, God, to just to check off a list, but just to enjoy that I get to come before God and he listens to me. Who am I when it comes to the creator of the universe? I am nothing, I am no one in my tiny little part of the universe, but God listens to me and invites and says, come into my presence, I hear you and I'm with you. And God like longs to hear from me. Church, I had so much more on this topic this week. I had so much more I was gonna say, but I think I'm just gonna stop here. Because next week we can dive into this a little bit deeper. And next week we're going to really talk about, like, how do we pray? Right? What does it look like to actually pray in real life? How can we walk through prayer? And we can learn together, like, what Jesus says about prayer. But this week I just want us to dwell on what Jesus really did for us. Yes, Jesus purchased his salvation. Right? Yes, Jesus on the cross purchased our way into eternal life, into heaven. And we celebrate that all the time. But it's so much more than that. We've been invited through Jesus into the presence of God. A place of peace, a place of hope, a place of joy, and a place where we can just bask in the light of who God is. And knowing when we're in his presence like that, that brings God glory. Listen to me, church. We talk about doing stuff all the time here, don't we? Tom Watkins with Williams Elementary School. Next week, we're going to talk about Puebla. Do. Listen to me. Just being in God's presence and enjoying him and enjoying that access that you have to your God, to God the Father, brings him just as much glory. Do you hear that? It brings him just as much glory to understand what Jesus did for you. And that you can rest in his presence and be with your God. So that I just want us to rest on that today. We'll talk about how we do this next week. But just soak in that the creator of the universe not only longs to answer your prayers, but longs to be with you. With you. Let's pray. God, we love you. What a privilege. What a privilege as a church that we can come before you knowing that you hear us. God, when I really dwell on it, God, it blows my mind that a man like me, who's done terrible things in my past, who knows the truth and still sins against you now, a guy like me, you still invite into your presence. that you still listen to. Maybe even more shockingly, that you long to be with. How undeserving are we, God, to be in your presence and for you to long to be with us, but you do, and we thank you for that. So God, I pray that just today, that truth would sink into our hearts today and we could take one step closer to you. That we're not perfect, though we don't have it all together, though we may just be downright broken people today. Through Jesus Christ, we can come before you with confidence, not in shame, not in guilt, with confidence that you want us in your presence, that you long for us in our presence, and you long to answer our prayers. God, help us just to take a step forward closer to you today. Help us to have our faith increased in your presence and understanding your will in your presence. But God, most of all, I just pray that you'd help us to long for you and that it would bring you the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.